Welcome to Sound Off with Lewis Woodard.
How can you not know who Lewis is? Oh my God, you hear his voice, you recognize who he is.
Wrapping up the day in sports in a fast-paced, high-energy atmosphere. You got an opinion? Bring it strong or don't bring it at all.
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
Dial 843-652-3776 or Sound Off on Twitter at 1003TheTeam.
This is a special person.
Now, your host, Lewis Woodard.
There have been a lot of surprising things that have happened this college football season. I, for one, didn't see Oregon being 500 at this point. I didn't see Arkansas being an absolute grease fire, and I did not see the Will Muschamp, Gus Malzahn coalition in the Plains going as poorly as it has. But that's college football. There are always surprises. One thing I did expect, though, I did expect this Clemson-Notre Dame game to be a big deal coming up this week, and ESPN has decided that that is a more interesting game for them than Alabama-Georgia is even. They have decided to do game day at Memorial Stadium at Clemson, and that's a big deal for a number of reasons, for exposure. I mean, of course, any program wants to have that kind of coverage on TV. So much so that Clemson did a fake Match.com profile and sent it to ESPN on social media, which was funny. I thought that was excellent usage of social media, the way it should be done. And so they've got game day showing up this weekend. I can't help but remember the last time that Clemson had college game day. That one didn't go as well. That was the Florida State game with Jameis 2 years ago that was pretty much, I think it was 17-0 within 5 minutes. It was over. I mean, that thing was done. I don't think I've ever gone into a college football game with as much expectation for entertainment and been let down in my life. But here they are, following a lot of success to end last season to start off this season. And they're taking on a Notre Dame team that, while successful themselves early through a pretty difficult schedule, they're 4-0, they are down a lot of really key pieces on offense, a lot of really critical players. And you're looking at their quarterback situation right now, and of course everybody here locally knows that Myrtle Beach High School product Everett Golson at one point in time would have been expected to start this game at Clemson. It would have been really neat for that to happen, for him to go up against a college in the state of South Carolina, and now we're just going to have to wait until Florida State plays him in November. He will get to see Memorial Stadium, but it will just be in a different jersey. And Brian Kelly, talking about his quarterback situation over the weekend, one of the reasons he says he's not as concerned about it with the injuries he's dealing with, not only losing Golson but losing Zaire for the year, is he says that the quarterback chemistry is excellent on this year's team. Everybody in the room is working together. And what's really interesting about this comment here is what he slides at the very end of it.
In just 2 minutes. Well, Deshaun and Brandon and Malik, and Montgomery, very close. Those guys spent a lot of time together. Really, it's a room that I sit in every day, and I can tell you that they have a very close relationship. And you know, when Malik went down, the first guy that was in the room to see him was Brandon and Deshaun. So it doesn't surprise me that it's reciprocal now with Deshaun and Brandon. It's just a group that's a bit unique. Last year it wasn't like that, but this is a different group of kids, and they're pretty close.
Last year it wasn't like that. Very interesting. Very interesting indeed. Hard to take a look at that giant piece of audio and not see that as some kind of shot at Everett Golson. But it is what it is. He didn't follow up. He said he was pretty clear on what he had said and didn't point the finger, or did he? So that's an interesting storyline going into this weekend. And if you guys recall, Dabo Swinney was one of what seemed like every Power 5 football coach that had a hot take on Notre Dame and their schedule over the summer. And I thought, I'm going to get to my views on this in a minute, but it was very interesting that this year, I don't know if every coach that had Notre Dame on their schedule was looking at the talent they had on their roster. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was just Gary Pinkel, Dabo Swinney, got other coaches interested in talking about this very subject, but it seems like a number of coaches took a run at Notre Dame for not being in a conference and how they should be viewed differently in a hypothetical playoff discussion. And Dabo, in spectacularly Dabo fashion here, basically spends a lot of time talking about how it's not a big deal, but gives it sort of big deal emphasis in his press conference, right? It's kind of funny, and he brings up the genesis of it over the summer and basically says, hey, it was only a news story because Notre Dame is such a big deal.
And the guy asked me a question of whether I thought they should be, that Notre Dame should be in a conference. And I said, yeah, I do. I mean, I don't. And the next thing, the headline is Coach Sweeney has come out and no, I could care less what Notre Dame does. I really could care less. My concern is Clemson and the things that I control. I don't care one iota what Notre Dame does. That's their business. But ask me the question, well, my opinion. Yeah, I think they should be, have to play, you know, 13 games. I mean, to me, it's like I feel not just them, the same thing with the Big 12. I don't think that's fair. I don't think it's equitable. I can't do anything about it, so I ain't worried about it. I could care less.
He really could not care any more about this. I mean, he really could not care less. I mean, he just, it's just, it was really blown out of proportion. And he goes on to say, yeah, it was because it was Notre Dame that it became national news.
But you asked me the question, I answered it. And next thing I know, I'm national news. You know why? Because they're Notre Dame. Somebody mentioned Notre Dame. Had somebody mentioned that about Iowa or Iowa Wesleyan or whatever, nobody would care. But Notre Dame, man, I'm all over the news. Like I've got some agenda. I ain't got no agenda. I don't care what they do. Hey, to each his own. I'm worried about Clemson.
And, he continues to expand on something that he couldn't care less about. And he says, he would like to see there be uniformity in the number of games in a season for all teams eligible for the playoff.
It's like the NFL. I mean, if you got, how many, are there 32 teams? 32 NFL teams? Okay, well, if 27 of them have to play 16 games, and then the other five play 15 games, well, that doesn't seem right to me. You know, and that's just, but that's the way it is. And I don't really focus on that. I don't lose one second of sleep on that. I'm worried about winning the games that we have at Clemson, and because that's what matters to me. But when somebody asks me the question, do I think that it's fair that these teams only play 12? No, I don't. I mean, I don't. I think that is, makes no sense to me.
I love that response for so many different reasons, because if it didn't bother him, then why would he have grandstanded? Why would he have taken 3 minutes to explain why it is that didn't bother him? I mean, I think most coaches, and Dabo's not most coaches, he has things that make him far more entertaining than the average coach, and he's good at coaching football, as evidenced by Clemson's last 4 or 5 year run. But if he didn't care about it, he wouldn't have talked about it forever. And he does bring up some interesting points, and he's touching on something that Nick Saban has touched on recently. Nick Saban happened to pick the very wrong battle to use as his topic of choice, that college football should be more like the NFL in terms of having more equity and fairness amongst conferences, making sure they operate the same way. Because if you're splitting up playoff bids, as the coaches say, they want them to be distributed fairly, right? They don't. These SEC coaches are terrified that only one team's going to get in every year, and they're coming up against a way more difficult schedule. That's what they're really upset about. Now, Brett Bielema made that his offseason campaign, and it's been a bad look for him so far this year. But Saban made his stand on the serious misconduct policy the SEC instituted. He doesn't like the fact that it's going to be harder for someone to transfer in that has past baggage. He doesn't want those talented football players to go to other conferences. That was a curious sort of place to draw his line in the sand and say, hey, we need to have uniformity amongst the different conferences. And here's why I don't mind what Notre Dame does. They play a far more challenging schedule than a lot of Power 5 teams do. And if they get through it with an undefeated record, they're going to have played a far more difficult schedule than a lot of other teams have. So if they have a clean sheet, then sure, they deserve to be in the playoffs. They'll have a number of really impressive wins. I mean, they'll have Southern California and Clemson just off the top of my head on their resume. They'll have a number of impressive wins. But if they have one loss, it's going to shoot them in the foot. Because just like TCU last year, just like Baylor last year, they're not going to have that closing argument. Remember how strong Ohio State's closing argument was? Well, they beat Wisconsin like 60-0 in the Big Ten championship game. Ohio State wasn't even on people's radar getting into the playoff with 3 weeks left into the season. Didn't exist. That closing argument is critical. It's very important. Now, if you lose the closing argument and you're 12-0 beforehand, then I can see you being bitter about a team getting in that's 12-0 without a conference championship game. But I don't really see why this is an agenda for any Power 5 conference coach, because it seems to me more likely that that championship game can work in your favor than it can work against you, because the number of undefeated college football teams every year, I mean, we go through entire seasons without an undefeated team. An undefeated team is a rarity. And I think it's more likely that Notre Dame gets hurt by this policy than helped by it. And it's going to be in sharp focus this year because Notre Dame has a very difficult schedule and a very talented team. So if they get to the end of the road and they're clean, then yeah, they deserve a playoff spot. I mean, if there are undefeated champions from the other four conferences, then it, or other five conferences, it gets dicey. But we all know as college football season continues, there's going to be the inexplicable loss for a number of teams. And Clemson, they have that chance with the ACC championship game to make a strong closing argument. This is actually a game. And here's the great irony here. Dabo is complaining about playoff seeding and playoff bid fairness. Well, if Notre Dame loses this game, they're done. They're not making the playoff. If Clemson loses it, they still can. Because if Clemson wins the ACC, has a strong performance against South Carolina, closing out the season, and some other dominoes fall, then being a 12-1 team, they would have a legitimate shot. I mean, because then they would have, in the tail end of their season, they would have wins over Florida State, they would have wins over South Carolina, and whoever it is the ACC Coastal champion is, looking like Duke right now. I mean, that isn't murderer's row, but at least they would have that extra game, that game in Charlotte, to try to put a punctuation mark on a season and when maybe people hadn't been talking about them in a couple of weeks. So I actually think this is a more forgiving game for Clemson than is Notre Dame. And if any argument to join a conference, it is Notre Dame should do it to benefit themselves. But I'm just not looking at this and saying, man, this isn't fair. The Big 12 teams in Notre Dame, they really need to join a conference. I mean, I think if anything, those teams are shooting themselves in the foot, because when the committee members are making their final decision, there is a whole week where those teams aren't playing. And that absolute curb stomping that Ohio State dealt Wisconsin last year, that was fresh in their mind when they were making the decision as to who were the four in and who were the first few out. So, I mean, that's my take. 843-652-3776. If like Gary Pinkel, head coach of Missouri, who South Carolina gets to see this week, and if like Dabo Swinney, you think that it's not fair and that Notre Dame should have to join a conference, I'm interested in your position on this. Notre Dame and Clemson, of course, playing this weekend on College Game Day, the featured game that ESPN has to offer. And here's another thing, and maybe this is just me being selfish. At times I can be selfish. The college football playoff argument is far more fun when there's a little less fairness involved, right? I mean, this is how college football has just kind of always been. I mean, I don't know at what level you can sufficiently say this is a 100% fair system. Every conference has the exact same rules, and you take one champion from every conference, and then you play a playoff all against each other. Well, then you're really at the mercy of where your road games are, right? It's not like college basketball where Duke plays at North Carolina and North Carolina plays at Duke. I mean, there's no way that you can institute total fairness in college football. So with something as trivial as a 12th versus a 13th game, to me, that doesn't really matter, because it's all about viewing the sum total of your experience in the form of a resume, right? I mean, Clemson plays 13 games, but does that one against Wofford really mean anything other than the 300 G's that Wofford probably got from Clemson? Other than the backups on Clemson's team getting reps that they won't get for the rest of the season? No. That doesn't mean anything in their playoff search. LSU missed the first game of their season against an in-state team because of rain. Is anybody going to look at a potential 12-0 LSU team with an SEC championship and say, well, you know what? They didn't play that in-state paycheck game. It rained. Can't, you know, we're just going to keep Les Miles and Fournette out of the playoff. No, it's not going to play out like that. Anyways, 843-652-3776. Agree, disagree, interested in hearing your thoughts on this. Now, Aaron Rodgers last night was pretty darn spectacular again on Monday Night Football, and he's right now operating at a level that is very, very high. One of his teammates said that he is Michael Jordan in his prime right now, going cross-sport analogy. So all the Michael Jordan fans that seem to get all up in arms about LeBron James comparisons have another athlete to target. And it really got me thinking about that comparison. And not only that, Rodgers in the postgame went after another NFL star subtly and made me really think, who in sports would I not want to have a media beef with? We'll get into that next on Sound Off.
Welcome back to Sound Off. Call 843-652-3776 and get loose.
Open the show talking about Notre Dame-Clemson this weekend, whether Notre Dame, for equity purposes, for fairness, should have to join a conference, as Clemson head coach Dabo Sweeney seems to think so. I disagree. I think that over the sum total of a season, you get a feel for how good a team is. And Notre Dame put some quality teams on their schedule. I think they get those wins. I don't think scheduling another FCS team, making it a 13th game, I don't really think that means a difference. I think they shoot themselves in the foot by not having a conference championship game as a closing argument of sorts. But that's a different thing altogether. I think if anything, they're hurting themselves. 843-652-3776 is the number. Now, last night was like any other game probably from the past three or four seasons if you've watched Aaron Rodgers. He was 100% in control. I mean, Green Bay just got out and stuck it to the Chiefs early. Rodgers threw three games this year, 10 touchdowns, zero interceptions, completing 74% of his passes, just looking like he is in complete and utter control. He's gotten to the point where he throws checkdowns without looking. Like, I've never seen a no-look pass in football before. Like, he's doing the Magic Johnson thing on the football field, and James Starks ended up ripping like a 30 or 40-yard reception off a no-look checkdown, and I was like, okay, this guy, he's just doing things differently and with his own style in a way that you're just like, whoa. I mean, I would 100%, if I could have any player in the NFL right now, I'm picking number one in a fantasy draft of real NFL players for a real season. No doubt in my mind, no hesitation whatsoever, Rodgers number one. No doubt whatsoever. And the other thing going on with Rodgers right now, it's not surprising that he ends up putting a bunch of touchdowns in the Chiefs last night or that his team is out to a 3-0 start. The other thing about Rodgers right now is he is like so 100% in control of his media game, it's outrageous. He, like, last week when they beat the Seahawks, he took a shot at Russell Wilson by suggesting maybe the Almighty was a Packers fan, and a subtle dig at Russell Wilson for Wilson's comments a year ago. So he's got that chip on his shoulder in a sense that he's not forgetting anything that anybody said. Well, last night, Jamaal Charles, the Chiefs star running back, does a discount double check, the Rodgers title belt celebration. And Rodgers not only wins that game, but in the press conference afterward, he's asked if he's offended that Jamaal Charles does his signature celebration.
I didn't see it, but a State Farm appreciates it.
Oh, that's, yeah, he doesn't have to say scoreboard. At that stage of the game, he's won. He gets his sponsor a little bit of an extra message, and pretty much settles it right there. I mean, what can Jamaal Charles say about that at all? And it really got me thinking, like, man, that's one guy in sports right now I wouldn't want to tangle with, because, you know, your chances of beating him are slim. And on top of that, you're not going to look good matching up with him in a press conference. And Popovich absolutely made a local reporter in San Antonio look like an idiot. I'm going to get into that in a second as someone else I wouldn't like to tangle with. But we do have Thomas on the line right now. Thomas, what do you got for us in Sound Off?
Yeah, I was just calling in reference to your discussing Notre Dame playing such a tough schedule. I looked up their schedule while you were talking about it. They played Southern Cal. Southern Cal's already gotten beat. They play Stanford at the end of the year.
Southern Cal's lost once, and they lost to Stanford in a very close game. right? I mean, you can't.
Stanford was ranked when they got beat.
Stanford's ranked right now, though, and you can't take a look at them at their entire season and say, okay, they're not a good team because they've lost once.
Okay, they beat Southern Cal, or they play Southern Cal.
Right.
They played Georgia Tech.
Yep, a ranked team before they played them.
That's right. They play Clemson and Stanford. That's the only possible ranked teams on their schedule. They played UMass this week.
Right.
UMass.
Okay.
I didn't even know they had a football team.
Probably hard to practice all too often up there.
I bet Coastal could beat UMass.
That's such a hypothetical, but when you look at them, okay. So Temple actually is a way better team than you think because they end up smashing Penn State earlier in the season.
Who's Penn State beat lately?
Right, but when you go into a Big Ten.
Nobody.
Right, okay, but this is the problem with the beginning of college football season is you're taking a look at the schedule and going line by line and saying, okay, well, they've lost already. They've lost already. And my biggest thing with Notre Dame is, they're not, like, yes, they're an independent, Thomas, but they are not going into the season scheduling the 12 easiest games they've got. I mean, they are littered with Power 5 opponents. I mean, they played Texas.
Texas?
Yes.
Have you watched Texas play this year?
Right. I'm not saying Texas is a world beater, but when you, Thomas, how many years in advance are these schedules made? Thomas, how many years in advance are these schedules made?
A few years in advance.
Right. So did they know Texas was going to be a joke when they scheduled Texas?
It's a possibility. They knew they were on a downside, probably. But they do normally schedule a tough schedule. They try.
Right. So that's...
Now, you cannot defend them this year with that schedule.
The essence of what I'm saying is that the 12th versus the 13th game shouldn't really matter in a sense that it should hold them back. I mean, look, if they're if they're undefeated at 12-0, they probably deserve a look, right?
If they go 12-0,
right.
Anybody who goes undefeated deserves a look.
Right, and if they're 11-1,
I would take four one-loss teams from power conferences over a Notre Dame undefeated any day because they have to beat themselves and play a championship game to get to that point. And Notre Dame does not.
Right, I think that they end up hurting themselves because they don't have that closing argument. But if they are 12-0, I think that they deserve a look. That's basically what I'm saying. I mean, I think it's kind of a non-issue because, Thomas, I love this conversation that we're having right here because this is why college football is so fun, right? You're going line by line in a schedule and saying, okay, this team has it, this team doesn't, and that's why, you know, if you make the playoffs 16 teams, I mean, what the heck are we going to argue about, right? What are we going to argue about?
Well, I agree with you to some extent. Like I said, Notre Dame does try to schedule a tough schedule typically. But this year, Troll, when you were started the discussion talking about Clemson and their schedule versus Notre Dame and their schedule, if you look at it this year, neither one of them are any harder than the other, okay? So by praising Notre Dame and insulting Clemson, you're not doing a true service to either school.
Right. I don't think anything I said was insulting Clemson. I think what I said was that it was a silly argument for Dabo to be making on the national scene. I mean, I've been accused of many things, but insulting Clemson really is not one of them on this show. I mean,
it's hard to compare apples to apples if one team is only playing 13 games and not playing a championship. If you take Florida State and Georgia Tech or Clemson and Georgia Tech and they have to battle it out to see if they get to make it to the playoff system, I just can't see how Notre Dame can be sitting at home and say, hey, we're in.
I mean, Thomas, I still think it's resume versus resume at the end of the day. Like, if you're looking at somebody's four or five best wins versus another team's four or five best wins, I mean, Clemson could get to the end of the line and the Coastal team that they could play in Charlotte could be a 5-3 Duke or Georgia Tech team. And that could resemble nothing of the difficulty that, say, an SEC team would have to defeat in Atlanta. So, I mean, at the end of the day, there's always going to be squabbles about fairness and scheduling.
I believe you're correct on that. I do agree with you there. But I hate that Notre Dame gets this bye because they don't want to be affiliated with a conference because they want to take in their own money. And at the end of the day, they don't want to affiliate with anybody. But yet they also get a pass when it comes to this selection.
Yeah. No, you brought up some good points, Thomas. That was the call that I was looking for. I appreciate it, man.
Okay.
Call us back anytime.
Bye-bye.
843-652-3776. We're talking about, isn't that perfect, Brian? We're talking about media feuds, and Thomas just steps in here and comes at me. That was awesome.
That's why I gave you the message.
Yeah. Some interesting points. And, I mean, this is that right there is why I love college football season. I mean, no one complains about schedules really in the NFL. Like, I mean, yeah, it's convenient for the Panthers this year that they get to play against the AFC South. So they're going to get against other wild card teams. They're going to get more games against bad teams, right? They're going to have a slightly softer schedule because they get to see the Titans and the Jaguars, the Colts and the Texans. I mean, that's the worst division in football. So when you get to play up against them, that's easy. But in general, there isn't that disparity between schedule strengths like there is in college football. And with a 12-team playoff versus a 4-team playoff, at the end of the day, everybody's just kind of shrugging and saying, it'll sort itself out. College football. In September, we're mad. In September, we're getting nervous about the end of the season. I mean, I think if Clemson wins the ACC and they've got one loss or less, it's going to be tough to keep them out. Now, who that loss is and when it is going to be tough. Because if they lose to Florida State, then they're, in all likelihood, they're not getting into the ACC championship game, in which case they're not an ACC champ. Anyways, another thing that I thought was interesting from a media feud standpoint recently was not necessarily feud, but I couldn't resist not playing this audio during the show, even though we're so far away from the NBA's relevance right now. We're like 10 months away from its relevance. 9 months away from its relevance. Greg Popovich just continues to destroy local reporters.
Last year at this time, it was the debut of the beard. Sticking with it.
Obviously. Are there some questions here you're going to ask me, or what are we going to do?
We're going to talk some hoops.
Good.
Oh, man. I would never want to interview him. I would never want to interview him. There's no way you could be smart enough to be one step ahead of him. And he can just and he also has that ability just to stonewall you by just saying, like, defense. Coach, what do you need to improve out there to get back in the game in the second half? Effort. Game over. Makes you look silly.
He answered the question.
He did, obviously. My beard's still here. My beard is still here. Oh, man, I don't know how you go into that. But Rodgers right now, and people get really mad because Tolzien says that he's Michael Jordan in his prime right now.
Yeah, the backup.
Yeah. People are mad about that. Oh, six rings. You can't compare athletes in different sports seriously and get mad about it. And then the ring counting argument is silly for a number of reasons. Like, you're just Tom Brady is an anomaly. You're not going to get somebody with a fistful of rings in the modern NFL because of how tight the salary cap is. And Tom Brady only got it because he took a smaller paycheck. I mean, his wife makes a ton of money. And so Brady was making like $12 million last year. I mean, if Brady took what he was actually worth and took Rodgers' money in the low 20s, chances are the Patriots wouldn't have had enough money to get Darrelle Revis. And without Darrelle Revis, they probably don't beat the Seahawks. And that's the interesting thing about the Brady discussion nationally, is people don't mention that he's playing for less money enough as a really as a reason to compliment him and praise him, I think. But in the NFL right now, I mean, what a lot of people don't realize is that not only is there a salary cap in the NFL, there's a salary floor. So you've got to spend basically within 90 to 95% of what other teams are spending. Like, you can't just be the San Diego Padres or Florida Marlins and just say, oh, we got a fire sale. Like, we're getting rid of everybody good and we're just not even trying to compete this year. We're trying to get a good draft pick. That doesn't exist in the NFL. And because of that, it's so hard to be good each and every year. I mean, the team that makes the playoffs each and every year is impressive. But over the course of somebody's career, are you going to see six rings in the NFL? I mean, Brady might, but that's just a very, very unique situation of well-run front office, excellent coach, and...
cheating.
Oh, wow. See, you know what? This is fun. I think that the Patriots just, I know it was the Jaguars, but they beat another NFL team the way a Power 5 team beats an FCS team. I mean, they made the Jaguars look silly on Sunday. I think that's an entertaining subplot of this season, is if, just like the Spygate year when the Patriots almost went 19-0, it's kind of a giant middle finger to everybody, right? And they say that it doesn't really mean that much, what they had done in the past. Because there's definite deception in what they're doing, but it's not enough to be the difference between a team that's like 8-8 and a team that's winning championships. Like, it's so the differences that they're getting in performance, it almost doesn't seem worth the deception that they're doing, like 1% here, 0.5% there. I mean, you get rid of deflating the footballs and they're still beating the heck out of the Colts and they're still beating the Seahawks in the Super Bowl after that. So it seems kind of silly to me, and that's an interesting subplot of this NFL season. But with regard to Rodgers and Jordan and people getting mad about that comparison, well, he's not going to get 6 championships. But that doesn't really mean that he's not the best in his sport right now. Or that is the way that Tolzien's comments should be taken 100% literally. I mean, I just get back to the point where if I were an NFL general manager, like drafting a player right now, like, you know that angst a lot of you probably felt with your fantasy draft? And you're like, oh, who do I take number one? Le'Veon Bell, he's out for 2 games. Peterson hasn't played in a year. Marshawn Lynch is getting old. If you were in a real draft, you'd be like Rodgers. You'd be the easiest pick all day long if you had that first draft pick.
I mean, the eye test, I think by far, I mean, I'm very young. I'm only 25, but he's definitely the best quarterback I've ever seen. Like, everything he does, good hard count, he can scramble, has footwork to evade the sacks. Obviously, his arm strength is amazing.
Throws on the run.
Accuracy,
the other thing, too, is these guys that are really at the top, they're the ones that can take James Jones off the street who wasn't playing for another NFL team and make them look like a 1,000-yard receiver. We got Cody on the line right now. Cody, what do you have for us in sound off?
Do you really, truly think that Brady would ever want that many rings if they didn't cheat?
I think that last year, everybody was complaining about the air pressure in the footballs, and I think in the second half, they shut out the Colts with properly inflated footballs, and I think they beat the Seahawks with properly inflated footballs. So while I think that it was silly to be deceptive, I think he probably lied to his employer and there should be penalties for that. I don't really think that one instance gave them a huge competitive advantage right there. Now,
I think as far as Tom Brady's concerned, the guy destroyed his cell phone because he didn't want nobody going through it.
If right, we're on the same page there.
Like if an officer searches your car,
right?
Obviously, if you say, I don't want you to search my car, you look suspicious.
Correct.
He obviously looks suspicious. And I'm not going to say cheating, maybe bending the rules to their favor, which I'm not saying not every NFL team does it, but I'm sure some do. I would say majority of them probably do. But for someone to get so much hype, and I'm not saying he's a bad quarterback because he's not, but I do think he is a big cheater.
Yeah, and Cody, it's impossible to know exactly how much of an advantage they really had. Like, do they beat the Rams in his first Super Bowl? Do they beat the Panthers in his second or third if they don't have that extra 1% advantage by, say, having a copy of the play sheet ahead of time or having taped walkthroughs? I mean, that's something that we won't know because they did win a lot of those close games. I think my argument is more that if you take all of that nonsense away, they're still a playoff team. Right. I mean, the year after Spygate, they're clearly not taping practices still, and they start off the season 18-0. The footballs are inflated, and they're still winning the Super Bowl. So I think that it almost seems like it's too much energy on their part going through these minor advantages that are deceptive, but I don't really know that they mean that much.
I don't know, man. I just personally think it sets a bad example as far as younger kids are concerned. As far as children playing the sport and stuff like that, they see this guy, they obviously look up to him. He's constantly getting called out for cheating, whether it be him, Belichick, the both of them being called out for cheating. I don't think it's a good look to give Tom Brady all the hype that the guy gets. I think he's a good quarterback. I think he's an NFL elite quarterback. But, I've got nothing for the guy whatsoever.
Yeah, we're making separate arguments that aren't necessarily going against each other. I mean, I totally agree that he was doing something deceptive and that there should have been consequences for him lying to his employer, basically, and he's going to get away with it because of a good legal team. But, you know, whether he's a role model for kids, I mean, that's a whole other thing. I think my point is essentially just that they don't go from being they're not a sub 500 team when you take away all of their cheating, which is the way a lot of people would like to represent them. But Cody, man, appreciate the call. Interesting points. 843-652-3776. This is kind of an odd segment going into it. I wasn't really sure what I was going to make of it with the Rodgers sound and the Popovich sound, but fat people coming at us, man. It's been fun. Eric is on the line. Eric, what do you got for us?
Hey, what's going on, buddy?
Not much. What's on your mind?
I got to tell you, I don't usually call in to comment on another caller, but you can't talk about Brady and bring up what he's teaching the kids. We just had this is the third high school football player who died this past week because the game is so violent. I think if we're teaching kids something that involves football, it needs to be maybe find a safer sport, not whether Brady's cheating and Belichick's taping practices. That's a horrible argument to make.
Yeah, it's always dicey when you make the comments that they have to be role models because there's so much of the money that's tied into endorsements. And, you'll lose that money if you're being enough of a non-role model, right? I mean, and then their primary job is to go out there and to win games, not to be a role model. You know, Barkley's famous comments, I'm a basketball player, I'm not a role model, paraphrasing it. But with regard to football in general, it's a dangerous sport, and I think everybody knows that at this stage of the game. But interesting points brought up with Eric as well. Didn't anticipate the segment going down this road, but yeah, that's always tough with the role model stuff. I mean, my point is basically the Patriots don't become a 4-12 team if they didn't tape practices or deflate footballs. That's just kind of what I was saying.
I think people are just mad because you don't know, like you said, you don't know how much that would have affected the franchise.
As a Panthers fan, they lost that game by 10 yards, right? I mean, if John Casey just puts that football into the end zone, Brady doesn't get to start the drive at the 40. Vinatieri doesn't have a makeable field goal at the end of the game, right? So those 20 yards that they got from Casey putting it out of bounds, I mean, could have been the game right there or any other play in that game. I mean, who knows? In the first half, the Patriots seemed to have their number on their defense versus the Panthers' offense. The second half, DeLome played out of his mind. Is that because the Patriots had taped their walkthrough and knew their first 15 plays? I don't know. I mean, could that have been the difference between a 7-point Panther win versus a Patriots win on a last-second field goal by a point or two? I mean, absolutely could have been, but all this stuff is just conjecture, man, because we don't actually know. I mean, I understand why people are mad about covering things up, but I mean, I guess my point, and I will say it one more time, is you take all of that deception and minor advantages that they're taking left and right, they're still going to the playoffs every year. It's just kind of what I'm saying. I mean, the guy has 5 championships. He's been to the AFC title game 10 times. You can't just say that's all cheating, that he's not good. And my original point is that Rodgers just isn't going to get there because it's so hard in the capped era of the NFL right now to collect that much jewelry. And a big reason Brady has been able to do it is because he took less money. And that he should be commended for, not lying to his employer and destroying his cell phone. I guess, did I tie that full circle, Brian? As the producer of the show, this has been a weird segment. How are you feeling
Rodgers
about my performance?
Rodgers should have that many already.
Should.
Yeah. Good old Simple Jack.
Yeah, well, you know, Eli took some away from Brady, too. So you should be, if Eli Manning is what you're complaining about, then Mr. Brady might have some more. Anyways, Spurrier had some really interesting comments today, indicating more knowledge of the rap game than you might have thought. That's coming up next in Sound Off. Back on Sound Off Sports Radio 100.3 The Team. I'm Lewis Woodard. If you miss any of the action, check us out. TeamMyrtleBeach.com podcast drop down Sound Off. Also, if you are out of range of our signal, you can also find us on the Sports Radio 100.3 app, which you can also download for free off of TeamMyrtleBeach.com. Interesting conversation to begin the show with Thomas. Caller about the Notre Dame versus Clemson schedules, which has become an issue again because Dabo is answering questions about it. And taking a look at their schedules a little more closely, Notre Dame has nine Power 5 games on their schedule. Now, a lot of those games are not as strong as you might imagine. I mean, you're not going to give them a whole lot of credit for scheduling Virginia, for instance, but that is a Power 5 game. Clemson has 10, and then they have the conference championship game after that. So all things equal, if Clemson's 12-1 and Notre Dame is 11-1, particularly who wins this game head-to-head is going to dictate it. But yeah, Clemson's going to have to go through a harder schedule than Notre Dame. Clemson's schedule, based on preseason wins and losses, looking at how teams did last year, which is not a perfect approximation, Clemson has the 25th toughest schedule, whereas Notre Dame has the 60, around the 60th toughest schedule. So, and then that's preceding the conference championship game. So, yeah, Clemson's path will be tougher. But, again, I think the folks in the championship committee, the Condoleezza Rices of the world, I think they are going to take that into account. Now, I got a kick out of something that happened at South Carolina's press conference earlier today. What was that, Brian? Okay. You know, if you can, you've got the microphone, man. You can say something.
I didn't have anything to say.
No thoughts?
No.
You sure you're not steaming about Eli Manning from last segment still? You get everything out there?
I ain't mad after that performance by Rodgers last night.
Yeah, well, you're looking...
Things are looking good right now.
You're looking pretty good right now at 3-0.
Minus all the injuries.
But he praises Lorenzo Nunez for being incredibly tough. He singles out a moment in the Central Florida game where he threw a block and basically says this is a guy that our players can rally behind.
Oh, I don't know that he assumes it too much. He's just out there playing ball. He didn't have to worry about all that. That'll take care of itself, you know, as long as you're here. But he does a good job of just being tough. You know, the block he made the other day, the player said, hey, this guy's pretty tough. And I loved it when he was running the ball against Georgia. When he went down the sideline, instead of running out of bounds, he lowered his shoulder and knocked one of their little DBs about 2 or 3 yards backwards. Those are the kind of things that your teammates admire and respect about you. So he doesn't have to talk a lot or anything. Just play tough and compete, and it'll take care of itself.
Then the more interesting conversation about whether he knew why Boosie Whitlow's nickname was Boosie or not. And Boosie Whitlow, first off, said there's no way that Spurrier would know why.
I'm guessing that Boosie Whitlow's name comes from Little Boosie.
I thought so. I have no clue. His real name's Quindesky, I think.
Yeah.
But he said all his friends call him Boosie from back home, and that's what we always called him when he got here.
What are the chances that Coach Spurrier knows who Lil Boosie is? What's your guess? Percentage-wise.
There's probably a zero chance that he knows who Lil Boosie is.
Josh Kendall really asking the hard-hitting questions today at South Carolina. He goes directly to the ball coach himself.
Do you know? I assume his nickname comes from Lil Boosie. Do you know who Lil Boosie is?
The rapper you're talking about?
Lorenzo Nunez said there was a 0% chance you would know.
Huh?
I was just curious if you knew who he was. I had to look him up on Wikipedia. Is that in your playlist, or you just happen to know who
What's
he
that?
Is? Little Boosie.
No, I heard him talking about it the other day. No, I don't keep up with a lot of rappers, that's for sure.
Spurrier trying to play it off like he's now following the rap game.
So do you know who Little Boosie is, Lewis?
I've heard his name before. I've never heard a Little Boosie track, but like I've seen his name in headlines before. It's an unusual name. I probably could have made that guess.
He was real big in like the end of my high school career, so maybe at the beginning of your college
now,
career.
Now, does this make South Carolina fans feel better about Spurrier's age and recruiting ability right there? He can still relate to guys. He knows who Little Boosie is.
For real.
Spurrier still at 70, still hit, man. He knows about Little Boosie.
That's impressive.
I think that's fun. Like I think I love it when press conferences and teams can joke around like that. Like I think that really is a sign with Nunez right there. That shows a little bit of poise. He can sit up there, talk to Josh Kendall about Lil Boosie and joke around about Spurrier not knowing who he is.
And that block you threw that Spurrier was talking about was very
savage.
Nice for a quarterback.
Kendall, I was joking about the hard-hitting questions there. Kendall does a spectacular job covering the Gamecocks. I just thought it was a funny line of questioning there.
We need to
have him back on. He's an excellent interview, too. But
someone should ask Pop if he knows who Little Boosie is.
Yeah, I don't know too many beat reporters out there that can do a personal trainer-style workout in a gym with the head coach they cover and then also interview him basically at a press conference about their knowledge of rap. Like, I think Josh Kendall is really killing it up there in Columbia, doing a fantastic job. There is, shocker, a movie that we're probably all fond of that we are finding out now there might be a remake of. And, you know, I guess that's the formula, right? Hollywood finds a movie and then they make it 4, 5, 6 other times because if you figure out a way to print money, why not print money? And, you know, it got me thinking about other things that need to be remade. We can have that conversation next. Back on Sound Off, Sports Radio 100.3 The Team. I'm Lewis Woodard. Brian Nelson helping me produce this show. Had some heat on the phone line today, Brian. Feeling all right back there?
I like it. More entertaining.
Absolutely. Appreciate everybody that calls in. I saw this headline today. First of all, I guess we can bring Sean Astin in this conversation in two different directions. Now, Sean Astin says there's absolutely going to be a Goonies 2, which, you know, it's probably good news, right? Probably. You know, I mean, who does not love that movie's a classic, right? I mean, why not? If a movie's good, let's just throw a sequel out there. It seems to be what we're doing right now. There's going to be another Roadhouse, the Ronda Rousey. There's going to be another Rocky movie, only this one's about Apollo's son. I mean, you know what? Just keep on printing money, people.
Independence Day 2.
You know, I was very underwhelmed by the latest Jurassic Park movie. But I still watched it, and that's exactly why they do this business.
I heard it was really good.
Yeah, it was not good. You know, Clemson fans are printing those Rudy as offsides. You remember Leighton Swan, he was on our show last week. With Clemson Sports Talk, his website's already making Rudy was offside shirts. We've seen that a fair amount on College Game Day. We've seen that. It's a little played out, but yeah, you can get your Rudy's offside shirt that way. But I saw that and I was like, man, really another sequel? But I haven't seen the original Goonies in so long. That's one that I need to get out there and rewatch.
It's a classic.
Yeah. It's got a lot going on. By the way, Sean Astin's been in everything. Like, he's in Lord of the Rings. He's in Rudy. He's in Goonies. He was on 24 for a season. He was like, yeah, he was the guy that, like, Jack Bauer beefed with in The Office for a while. He's trying to take over whatever their organization was called and run a different
way. That's a mistake. Who beefs with Jack Bauer?
Yeah, that's all-time TV or cinematic mistake right there. Coming up later tonight, between 8 and 9 o'clock on the station after Sports Talk, it is going to be a new edition of Panther Talk. Mick Mixon and the boys sitting around talking Panthers. Ron Rivera, we have a little sneak preview of it. Very excited to get Jared Allen wearing the Panthers uniform pending a physical.
Well, first of all, I got to make sure everybody understands this is all pending a physical.
Right.
Yes. Okay, and that's the most important thing is, you know, so he'll come in, get his physical, but, you know, he's a pass rushing specialist. It's what he does. He plays the run very well. He's a physical guy. He's got good size, good hand strength. He rushes with violence. You know, he doesn't just sit there and, you know, work one way or the other. He's got counter moves. You know, we watched a lot of tape on him today and really just kind of wanted to make sure, you know, this could potentially be a fit for us. The Charles Johnson thing was a consideration. Obviously, he's got an MRI. We're just waiting to hear from the results. You know, but again, we didn't want to wait when we found out there was an opportunity.
All right, once again, that interview in its entirety, as well as another hour of excellent Panthers talk before and after that's coming up. Panther talk right here, 100.3 The Team, between 8 and 9 o'clock. Had a number of interesting calls today. Let's fire it up, Ryan.
It's time for the most coveted prize in North America, Sound Off Call of the Day.
All right, here's Thomas saying that Notre Dame should not be in the playoff, all things equal, because of their 12-game schedule.
You should still, it's hard to compare apples to apples if one team is only playing 13 games and not playing a championship. If you take Florida State and Georgia Tech or Clemson and Georgia Tech, and they have to battle it out to see if they get to make it to the playoff system. I just can't see how Notre Dame can be sitting at home and say, hey, we're in.
Brought up some interesting points, and that conference championship game will hurt them. But if they're 12-0 with that schedule, I still think they're going to get in. I mean, there are a number of Power 5 teams that have weaker schedules on paper than Notre Dame through 12. Nebraska, Wisconsin, Kansas State, just off the top of my head looking at this list. So, interesting argument. It's only going to continue if Notre Dame wins this weekend against Clemson. It gets shut down if Clemson wins. All right, Sports Talk is next.